Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. Happy Olympics week to the tens of millions of you who celebrate. Rex, we are just about 24 hours from this thing kicking off. You have been in Paris for a couple of days now. What are the vibes like, not just at Le Golf National, but around the city?
Around the city, it's fun. We actually went to some swimming events last night, which were in the city. We took the train in, and as George Severicus has pointed out numerous times this week, it's only a 30-minute ride, so it's not bad at all to get into the city. It's fun, and I think it's weird being here because Brad Faxon pointed this out this afternoon on the telecast that there haven't been fans on property the first 3 days, and so it's sort of had this weird feel to it. I'll be really curious to see what the golf feels like tomorrow.
They are anticipating upwards of 30,000 fans a day, which is not too dissimilar from what you see from a major championship or certainly a high-profile event on the PGA Tour. So there certainly should be some liveliness to the proceedings. Le Golf National, we have not seen it in primetime, Rex, like this since the 2018 Ryder Cup. A lot of talk this week about the graduated rough, although it's perhaps not quite as thick as what the Americans encountered in 2018. What are players telling you? What are you observing about the golf course and who that might sort of favor this week for the Olympic competition?
I'm actually a little surprised that the rough is thicker than we would have anticipated coming in. We all remember what it looked like in 2018 at the Ryder Cup. It was brutal. Like, Thomas Bjorn clearly set that up for his team to their advantage. It worked perfectly as the Europeans rolled to victory. I was not expecting that, just thinking this is an Olympic competition. I don't think the organizers are trying to punish anyone. We also have another event with the women next week, but it is thicker than I would have imagined. Again, Faxon pointed out he had walked the golf course yesterday. The graduated rough is really interesting because you have a segment of it where you can play out of it, not easily, but there will be a penalty, but you can definitely advance the ball to the green. And then sort of the next layer, then it kind of depends on what kind of lie you get. But there's a layer beyond that, that if you're missing the fairway by 10 or 15 yards, you may not find your ball. So it's still going to put a lot of demand on driving accuracy. Maybe not to the extreme that we saw in Paris back in 2018, but it hitting the fairways, hitting the greens. I think Rory pointed out that it's a lot easier to play this golf course from the fairway. So I think whoever is going to sort of lead in that stat would be the first one I would point out. And then I'd go to immediately to the two guys who were heroes here in 2018. And have whatever we want to call them, but Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari, who is not in the field this week, but Tommy is. Tommy putted brilliantly that week, and he performed. Both of them did. They went undefeated. If he puts anything close to that, I think he's going to have a good week.
Could see some dubs. Could see some triples. Waters in play on, 11 of the 18 holes? I'm actually looking forward to seeing the closing stretch on this golf course. We did not see it all that much when the Ryder Cup rolled around, because most of the matches were closed up by the time they got to 16, 17, and 18. A lot of variety on those holes, a lot of issues potentially if a player is feeling a bit nervy down the stretch trying to claim a medal. I am looking forward to seeing that. Rex, let's talk about these three headliners of this field. It's obviously Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy. How do you see those players, two of them? Scottie and Rory will be playing together along with Ludvig Åberg and what is clearly the star-studded grouping of the first two rounds. But how do you sort of break down those contenders, and who do you think has the best shot for a medal?
I did a far too ambitious sort of handicapping the field the other day for golfchannel.com or NBCSports.com.
Longest thing you've written this year, no doubt about it.
I don't feel like that's true. However, it was wildly ambitious to think I could come up with something to say about all 60 players. And once I started getting past the 30 mark, I would say, somewhere around 30.
A lot of shrugs. These guys would have a chance.
That's right. And the others in this category are yada, yada, yada. However, I will say this starts the way we've started pretty much every podcast, at least before a major championship this year. They're sort of in a category by themselves. And you have to start with Scottie Scheffler. I know he hasn't had the most interesting of weeks coming into this. You look at what he did at the Open Championship. Certainly that finish was disappointing. We didn't know, we still don't know 100% what happened on the 72nd hole with that drive, and then he grabbed at his back. Doesn't seem to be an issue this week. Still, all those things. He's in a category by himself. He's won six times this year. He does all of the things, as I just pointed out, that you seem to have to do to play this golf course well. Xander would be right behind him based on what he's been able to do the last few weeks. I do think, and I pointed this out on Golf Central today, the fact that Xander was the very first person that we saw when we got on property here on Sunday, and he was playing 18-hole practice round, and I asked him about your preparation for this week different at all than what you did getting ready for Royal Troon or any other major championship, and it's not. And I think that speaks volumes to what this event means to the players, that they're preparing just like they would for a major championship. The wild card in this is going to be Rory McIlroy. I feel a little uncomfortable because our colleague Brad Faxon is sitting across the room from me. I'm only going to say that whatever it is that happened at the Open Championship, he had a week off between that and this event in Portugal, relaxing. Hopefully he shows up here refreshed, because I'll go back to Tokyo 3 years ago when he was competing for the bronze medal, seven-way playoff, and how much excitement he had. I really want to see that same excitement.
I think we all want to see that same sort of excitement. I was struck listening to his press conference. Again, I'm not on site in Paris because I do not have a credential for this week. But Rex, Roy made the point in saying that he had actually not touched his clubs since the Open Championship and that miscut at Royal Troon until he played St. Andrews on Monday, and has played just nine holes each of the past 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, in anticipation of the Olympics. That is actually, Rex, not dissimilar to what Rory, his approach has been for the last couple of major championships, arriving onto major week late and then playing just nine holes, sort of easing into what is typically a very long week. You contrast that, as you mentioned, to what both Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele did, playing 18 holes on Sunday and then getting into their practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It does seem like they're putting in more work week of than Roy McIlroy has. Of course, working in Roy's favor is that he has familiarity with this golf course, being a member of that 2018 European Ryder Cup team, finishing third in a long ago French Open on this exact golf course. Is there any sort of mindset or preparatory technique that you think benefits one or the other?
No. And again, this kind of goes to personal preferences. And we've seen a lot from Rory. He likes to sometimes play the week before a major. He likes to sometimes not play the week before a major. I don't think there is a solid formula when it comes to that. And as you pointed out, he has plenty of experience around this golf course. It's not as though he needed to come here and learn anything. He knew that water is in play on 10 holes. He knows how difficult that closing stretch is going to be. And maybe getting away from golf after the last couple of weeks. And let's take it all the way back to the U.S. Open and the finish there at Pinehurst. And then, of course, the disappointment of not playing particularly well at the Open Championship. I will go back to the Scottish Open, where he did play pretty solid. And I think he posted a top 10 finish there. So it's not as though his game is in a bad position. It's just a matter of coming in here. How fresh is he after a really, really long summer? And how motivated is he? And in this particular case, I think he's very motivated.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. Of the three, I think Xander Schauffele is probably the best bet to nab a medal this week. We'll get to our picks of who will be on the podium at the end of this podcast. A couple of hot topics, Rex, that seem to have percolated in the press tent this week that I did want to get your thoughts on. The first one being the official world golf ranking is the sole determiner of how these players are getting into the Olympic field. Again, it's 72 holes of stroke play, just 60 players in the field. Carlos Ortiz, John Rahm, some other players as well, expressed some disappointment that the OWGR was the only way to get into this. I think you have to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. Those are LIV golfers in particular, who, while playing on that rival league, do not earn world golf ranking points. Their participation in the Olympics potentially in jeopardy if there is not a solution to that. So I take that with a little bit of grain of salt. But what do you think about how this Olympic field is made up? Should they just rely on the OWGR? Should the countries determine, in those countries alone, determine who is going? Should there be some sort of national qualifier like you see in some of the other Olympic sports? Where do you stand on it?
I'm going to give it a little bit more than a little bit of a grain of salt. I think there's a huge grain of salt when it comes to the LIV players complaining about not getting world ranking points and not being able to qualify for the Olympics. And I actually was a little surprised that Bryson DeChambeau's name has been brought up a lot this week about the missing person in the field because of the world rankings. And I don't really get it. And I will agree with the concept that Bryson DeChambeau is the most popular player in the game right now. And if you're an organizer, you probably do want him involved in this. However, he knew when he joined LIV Golf that world ranking points weren't going to be associated with that. And many things were going to factor into that. And he was going to suffer. One of them was going to be, you're probably not going to qualify for the Olympics. There's also the idea, and I sort of took exception to John Rahm pointing out when he was asked this specifically about wanting I think he explained the best field to be here at the Olympics. This is not the best field in golf. It may not be the best field this week in all of golf, to be quite frank with you. It's real top heavy. And we've got, I think I did the math, 8 or 9 of the top 10 players of the world However, once you start getting towards the back end of the field, there's a lot of players who aren't ranked very high. That's by design. You want representation from different countries, not representation from the top of the world ranking. So I don't really see where this argument is coming from.
I do see where the argument is coming from, because these players could potentially be excluded from the competition in 4 years' time if there is not some solution. My counter to what Carlos Ortiz is saying, and that they need to have sort of this neutral body within the countries determining it, is that having a supposedly neutral body decide who goes to the Olympics is going to be even more political than what the OWGR has set out to do here. You can ask Sam Burns, who is excluded from a U.S. Walker Cup team. You can ask Keegan Bradley, who is excluded from a U.S. Ryder Cup team. You can even ask Caitlin Clark and Jaylen Brown, who were snubs for Team USA basketball. What happens when you put sort of your fate in the hands of some sort of committee, which has its own biases? I do think there's probably, Rex, a formula that could be come up with, where you're taking the OWGR in sort of concert with Data Golf, which also takes into account live golf results, and you sort of mesh that, and that's what sort of spits out the formula. There is not a obvious solution to this, which I think is probably frustrating for some of those live golfers. And on the Bryson DeChambeau point, to his credit, Bryson has taken this all in stride. He knew the consequences when he went to live golf. He's not whining or complaining that he's not a part of this team. I think a lot of people wanted to see Bryson just on how he's played in the major championships this year, particularly when you look at the form from Wyndham Clark over the past couple years, has not been particularly strong as well. But Bryson knew the consequences. He's not the one complaining. The Americans are a very difficult team to make most. Certainly, sausage fingers up. Rex, what else do you have to add to that?
I would say in this context, and I don't, please don't at me on this one. The world ranking is broken and we need to come up with a way to fix it. I don't want to get into that argument right now. The only, as it applies to this event though, and you pointed out correctly, I hadn't even thought about that. Do we really want to put someone else in charge of who gets into these events? I think Joost Luton is probably the best example of that right now, who actually qualified for the Olympics, and his national organizing committee decided, nope, you're not good enough to go and compete. Not even thinking about the idea that last time we held these games, the guy who was 161st in the world won the silver medal. That's Rory Sabatini. I think that's ridiculous as well. There has to be one overall standard, at least in golf. Like, the other sports do it differently, but this one cannot be decided by the Knox.
Yeah, or even just like a one-off qualifier, which you see in other sports. You've seen that happen in swimming, where one of the top contenders has a bad day and all of a sudden he's not a part of the U.S. Olympic team. At least the official world golf ranking is taken into account, a two-year window with priority and emphasis placed on the last 6 months. Rex, how about also the idea of a mixed team event? The proposal that the IOC is currently considering, supposed to vote on it in early 2025, that would be implemented in the 2028 games in LA, would be essentially a 36-hole competition of mixed best ball and alternate shot. Essentially, think about the Zurich Classic format on the PGA Tour, just with one male player and one female player. The criticism of the current Olympics has always been that 72 holes of stroke play for 60 players is unimaginative. The counter to that, of course, is that this is what helped get golf back on the Olympic program, because it is what is familiar to the organizers. What are the players saying? What are you thinking about the potential of adding this mixed team event into the fray for Riviera?
I intended to have a conversation on Golf Central with Steve Sands about this, but Steve got nervous and broke into hives and didn't want to dig into this particular subject. So I'm glad you brought it up. I will say I do want to see a team element. And ever since the beginning, I think most people would agree that's pretty much the fun part. The idea in the IGF, which handles golf in the Olympics, kind of said last month in June that they were pushing for a mixed team event when we get to LA in 2028. I like the concept. When you ask me what players are thinking, I thought Minwoo Lee brought a really good point, that essentially you're going to add two more days to a competition that's already shoehorned into a really, really difficult time of the year for the game's top players. So we can sit here and go through a bunch of really cool scenarios to make this work. I just think adding two more days to this particular competition, just not for the men, for the women as well, is not the answer. So that means we need to come up with a more creative way of coming up with an individual champion and then coming up with a team champion. I'll also point out that when Rory was specifically asked about this the other day, he did not reference sort of the mixed team concept. He liked the team concept, and that would be him and Shane Lowry in this particular case. But again, I think this goes to the idea that we already have a bit of a schedule issue when it comes to the game's top players. Asking them to commit two more days at the very least would be problematic.
It'd actually be 3 days because you need to have a practice day with your partner in between. So now you're looking at 3 days in between the men's and the women's competition. That's not
you
correct.
Wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have to do that. I can tell
you don't need a practice day with your partner for alternate shot, which would be one of the 2 days of competition.
You do. I can tell you that on Sunday when I got here this week, there were more women practicing on the golf course than there were men. And every day since then, there have been women on the golf course. So you would do that during, I would guess, the normal buildup to this event. I don't see them adding. You mean starting it on Tuesday and Wednesday and letting them practice on Monday? I don't see that happening either.
Yeah, I see them starting on Wednesday. So you have Wednesday to Saturday for the men. Then you have the Sunday, which would be a practice day. Then you have the 2 days of competition, Monday, Tuesday. Then you have the regular practice round day on Wednesday for the women's competition. And then the Thursday through Sunday for the women. I think that's probably the only way to do it. And again, there's no doubt about it that the holdup is going to be the timing here. I think the PGA Tour is going to have to work with these athletes to ensure, I think most importantly, Rex, that there's two regular season events before you get to the playoffs. Otherwise, you're going to have a major championship. Then you would have what would now be essentially a 9 or 10 day Olympic experience, even though it is in LA, even though it is going to be a short flight for these players to get to. It's not a huge lift in the sense that it's not an international venue. I do get that. But on the back end, after playing so much high stakes golf on the back end of the major season and then the Olympics, you'd love to see the PGA Tour schedule tweaked a little bit to have sort of like a 3M and a Wyndham, a 2 week break for the top players, then heading into the playoffs. Otherwise, that's going to be a lot. And as Xander Schauffele said, you could, quote, lose some guys if the schedule is just too jam-packed. I think that would be a shame. And sort of the same myopic thinking that led to the Rio no-show. This is such a golden opportunity to appeal to a broader audience, getting the men and women together. It would be a shame and a bummer, certainly, if it was the schedule that was sort of the holdup in all of this.
No, and I love the concept, but as you pointed out, if we end up taking a step back, I think since Rio, and we've talked a lot about it this week, the ideas among at least the top players is they have bought into this more and more over the years. Certainly what Rory said in Tokyo 3 years ago resonates that, yes, when we first did it, I'm not quite sure how it fell into the game. Now it means something to not just show up at the Olympics, but trying to win a medal, gold or otherwise. I don't think you want to go back to those Rio days where you have players starting to second guess, well, do I really want to do this in the middle of a season? Commit 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, whatever the case may be. And yeah, being in LA in 4 years will make it easier, but that's going to be just one Olympics. We're going to move on from there, and suddenly we're going to start talking about far-flung venues again. I don't see that working, and I don't see the tour rearranging their schedule just to make this work either.
I mean, you'd certainly hope so. If you look at how the schedule has worked out this year, right? So you have the Olympic competition. Next week is the Wyndham Championship. That's the final regular season event on the PGA Tour schedule. Then you go straight into the three playoff events. They're already butting up against Labor Day weekend, which is what the tour is trying to avoid, and the start of college football and the NFL season immediately after that. It's going to take some maneuvering. You just don't want to see a Xander, a Scotty, a Rory have to make some sort of decision or compromise to their schedule to sneak this in or potentially compromise then the first event of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It just seems like the tour needs to be flexible in this. Again, we have 4 years to figure it out. I'm not too stressed about it. I do think I love the idea of this mixed team event, though, to get back to this, Rex, because there's some mouthwatering potential and matchups that you could have. Scotty Scheffler, Nelly Korda, Xander Schauffele, Rose Zhang, Ludvig Åberg, Lynn Grant, Min Woo, and Minji Lee together would be an amazing team. Corey Connors, Brooke Henderson, and the like. Do players, Rex, do they seem excited about the potential of pairing up with their female counterpart from the country?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we saw that last year when they introduced the Grant Thornton, and it's going to be a mixed team event. And that's a silly season event, and it happens later in the year. But yeah, I think all of them would embrace the idea. And we were just watching the pistol shooting, and they have a mixed team competition. I think that adds something to it that can be entertaining and that people would like. And if I'm putting on the other hat from a content provider and working for NBC Sports, which clearly we would love the extra content. It's two more days of competition. It's something new. It's something for people to get interested in. I think we would absolutely love that. I just keep coming back to the concept that it is problematic right now without working through the details.
All right, Rex, let's get our picks to get on the podium. This has proven to be an unpredictable event. You think about the silver and bronze medalists from Tokyo, CT Pan and Rory Sabatini, two players who were ranked outside the top 200 in the official world golf ranking. They're all pretty solid back in 2016 in Rio, all among the top 20 in the world ranking, with Matt Kuchar taking the bronze, Henrik Stenson taking the silver, and Justin Rose, of course, taking the gold medal for the first time that golf was in the Olympics in a century or so. Let's start with the bronze medal. Who's your pick?
I think we can go in such a weird direction. I think it was Tom Abbott earlier this week who I had him on, and he said he can imagine a scenario where the Americans sweep the podium, where you would have Scotty, Xander, and Colin Morikawa was the name he put out there, of course, because Colin's playing really well as well. I guess that's possible. It's not even
certainly possible.
It's certainly possible. I'm not sure it's realistic because it's really, really hard. We've seen that. It's a small sample size, but in the first two Olympics, it doesn't always seem to follow chalk, let's say. We're not always getting the world's best players performing at the best. Certainly, Xander in Tokyo was an example of that, but I'm not quite sure we can expect that week in and week out. And I'll go back to Rory Sabatini. I'm not quite sure I can find the 161st player in the world who's going to slide into the bronze medal. So I can't really play that game. I think it's going to be, you're going to push me on this one. I'm going to go with John Rahm, which is kind of tough to say, but we all know how well he's playing right now. The top 10 at the Open Championship, the victory last week at the LIV event in England. And I would be shocked if he doesn't medal. So I'll slot him into the bronze.
I like that pick. He was on my others under consideration. I had John Rahm under others consideration for the podium. I had Ludvig Åberg under that same category. I had Tommy Fleetwood, one of the stars in the 2018 Ryder Cup team, and a player who's intimately familiar with this golf course. I also had Tom Kim, who kind of reminded me of Justin Thomas. Remember, Justin Thomas was the lone American player who played the French Open ahead of the Ryder Cup in 2018, getting some experience, and then he went on to be the best U.S. player that week. Tom Kim, top 10 finish of the French Open in 2023. Potentially that experience will benefit him here. For my bronze medalist, Rex, I went with Corey Connors, the Canadian ball-striking metronome. As we outlined at the beginning of this podcast, this is a golf course that is going to focus on the precision, not just off the tee, but also into the greens. He is among the best, among the most accurate, and he comes into here with solid, if not spectacular form, essentially a top 25 machine coming in here. I like Corey Connors because of the course fit. How about your silver medalist?
I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler for the reasons I pointed out earlier in the show. All the things that we have said that you need to do well here at Le Golf National, he does really, really well. And even though you could probably point to the last few weeks as he's not been quite as sharp as he was earlier in the season, I don't think there's anything in his game that would suggest, oh, he's going to be done. I mean, clearly he still has his sights set on not just this event and beyond the FedEx Cup playoffs. So again, much like John Rahm, I'm going to throw three names out, and I feel like those three names could slot into any one of these positions on the podium. But John, I would pick Scottie Scheffler for the silver.
Yeah, I think you're going quite chalky here if I'm picking up what you are laying down. I do think there's plenty, obviously, for Scottie Scheffler to play for this week. We just talked about with George Savarikas on Golf Central that I do think, even though the Olympics is not officially a PGA Tour event, what happens this week in Paris could sway some voters in terms of the player of the year race. I'm not taking Scotty. I'm actually not taking Xander. I'm not taking Rory at all. It does not feel good to have none of those players on my podium, but I'm sort of leading into the unpredictable nature of the Olympics. My silver medalist, Rex, is Alex Noren, former winner of the French Open, comes in here with back-to-back top 15 finishes. And you look for motivation and what is driving these players this time of year. It isn't just the current form that Alex Noren is experiencing. At age 42, he has to know that this is most likely his final chance to get a medal. I like the course fit. I like the course history. I like the style of play that he has, including the current form that he's bringing into Le Golf National. Give me Alex Noren in a bit of an upset to get the silver medal. I can only guess, Rex. So you've taken John Rahm as your, you've taken John Rahm as your bronze. Wow. You've taken Scotty Scheffler as your silver. Wow, what a jam packed podium. Which off the radar player are you going to pick to win this gold medal?
I'm going to zig when you think I'm going to zag. This is going to throw you off. Ready? Adrian Meronk. I'm kidding. I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele. Again, you've kind of pushed me into a corner here because I don't feel comfortable guessing who the next Rory Sabatini is. Because if we were having this conversation on Wednesday in Tokyo 3 years ago, there's no way I would have guessed him or CT Pan. So it's kind of it's a no win for me on this front. And Xander is clearly playing really, really well right now. And as I pointed out, he's focused. I don't know that there's any part of his game that you would be worried about. I did want to bring something up. Out of the corner of my eye, I've been a bit distracted here. I don't know if you could tell, but they're doing the BMX competition. We get all the competitions fed into the compound. And this came up the other day in this room of ours, just among friends. So we'll just keep this amongst ourselves. What do you think? Is there one Olympic competition that you're not going to win a medal? I'm not asking you that, but that you think you could actually be competitive at? Anything the 20-something competitions?
Not particularly. Like, I'm too short for volleyball. I'm too slow for soccer. I'm too short for basketball. I'm not fearless enough for BMX or skateboarding.
Surfing. You don't like getting in the water. You're not going to do that.
I'm very uncoordinated. I can't do that. Gymnastics is obviously out of the cards for me as well. I'm not flexible enough. I do not think I could be good at anything. That sounds dire. That sounds like I've got self-esteem issues, but no, there is no Olympic sport in which I could thrive.
And this came up on Golf Central earlier today when we were doing it. And I was having this conversation with George Savrikas, and Tripp Eisenhower was on it. And George said the same thing. And I had to correct him and said, Tripp, you played competitively on the PGA Tour. You were really, really good at some point. You have to think that maybe you could come out here and, I don't know, have a couple of decent rounds. And again, not medal, but I don't know, finish top 30, 58th,
maybe finish 58th, 59th.
Sure, whatever. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe the shooting, and this is why we had started this conversation. Because if I'm, I did that.
Shooting.
There was a time in my life.
Shooting is not a Olympic sport.
Well, whatever it is, it's. I don't know what it's called. Here, I'll look it up.
It's really not called shooting. But I do get your point that seems like the most attainable. Maybe archery. If one were trained.
Archery is too hard. We talked about that. That takes a lot of coordination as well.
My 5-year-old is currently in swim lessons, and I'm thinking I'm not even sure I could do a couple laps at a pool, let alone swimming in a triathlon like my 66-year-old father currently does.
I mean, fencing, we would just hurt ourselves. I'm going to stab myself before someone else stabs me.
I would impale myself, let alone the opponents.
Sport climbing, like I can just keep going through the list here, and I'm not seeing what the shooting is, but you get the idea. Maybe it's the modern pentathlon. That's probably not right. You know, I'm getting this wrong. You guys, please let us know on this front. And there's things we can do. Like, I grew up surfing. I could certainly surf. I'm not going to be able to be competitive in the least doing it. It was the shooting that stood out. And the other one that we were thinking, this is why we had the conversation, because we went to the swimming last night. And I don't know. It was the men's 800 freestyle. And I'm not even, I know that for a fact, I cannot do that many laps. It was 16 laps.
It's 16.
Yeah, up and back. Couldn't do it. Forget about trying to do it quickly. Forget about trying to do it with some sort of pace. Couldn't do it. And then it came down to, it was the 100 freestyle. And they're like, well, surely you can do that. I'm not even quite sure I could do that.
I mean, that's more of a sprint. Certainly. I mean, we would lose by 45 seconds. Like in that sport, the difference between gold and fourth is like
10.3 seconds.
Yeah. You know, like it's absolutely nothing when you actually think about it. Like it's less than a snap. No, we could lose. Like we could finish. We could certainly finish. We'd be doggy paddling over the last 50 meters, but I do think we could at least finish that one. It would just be embarrassingly slow.
Do you think you could just return a serve, a badminton? You watched it. It was on today.
I probably could return a serve. I could probably return a serve in volleyball. No way. I could certainly return a serve in tennis. I could probably return a serve in ping pong.
No,
that would be the extent of it. I mean, I could hit it back to them. It may not be in the court. It may not be in the proper box.
I mean, you could defend yourself if someone hit a ball at you.
I could probably put paddle or racket on ball. Yes, I am confident I could do that.
All right. I've digressed enough. These are the conversations we were having. These are the conversations.
It sounds like I'm missing, I don't know, a whole lot. I forgot my gold medalist. It is going to be, for me, Colin Morikawa. He has actually quietly wrecked, become one of the most well-rounded players in the PGA Tour this season, inside the top five in strokes gained total. That looks at every facet of the game. He's not just, you know, the accurate driver of the golf ball. He's not just a sharpshooter anymore with his irons. He has made enormous strides with his short game and his putting. He has done everything in 2024 except win. What better time than this week at the Olympics, getting a gold medal, redeeming himself for losing in that massive playoff in Tokyo for the bronze medal. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lab. You guys on the drill, nbcsports.com/golf for all the latest news, notes, and updates. Rex and I will be filing updates throughout the tournament competition. You can also catch Rex on Golf Channel and Peacock over the next 4 days. He will be handling all the interviews. Big spot for him. Hope he does not screw it up. We'll be rooting on our friend, not just this week, but the next week as well. There goes Brad Faxon, truly to work with Rory McIlroy on his putting. Is there anything, Rex, you'd like to close the podcast with?
Yeah, I wanted to say, please check out tomorrow. I just learned today that I will be interviewing Michael Phelps out here at the golf course. So if you have any questions, any thoughts, yes, that's right, the GOAT.
One GOAT talking to another. You do love to see it. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. We'll be back on Sunday afternoon, not Sunday night, Sunday afternoon for a full recap of the men's Olympic competition. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you guys Sunday.
Babs is doing the producer thing.